welcome to episode number 3 of Wee Wild Woman and the Fat Man Farmer. I am the Fat Man Farmer.
And I am Wee Wild Woman.
And today, which for you guys, it may be today, it may be another day, we just got done recording the episode 2, so now we're on our way back home doing episode 3. Today we're going to talk about origin stories. So we have stories for everything on our farm and why animals have certain names and the reasoning and rationale behind our names. So today we're going to talk about animal origins. So let's start off because we got a call while we were at our tiny house that once again, Back Betty is out. She was visiting the water treatment plant, which is just down the road from us. So the water treatment guys called our neighbor who called us this morning and said, "Hey, we have a cow out. Is it yours?" She's like, "I don't even have any cows anymore." So she called me. And we were an hour away, so senior farm boss had to go wrangle her. She was excited at the water treatment center, and then the guys came out and told her that Betty was running down the roads to our house. So she went back to the house, and there's Betty at the gate waiting to go back in. So she is officially grounded. We'll be going to cow jail for the next 48 hours. We think she's in heat, which cows go into heat about every 21 days, I believe, and she's looking for a man. And so we don't have a man, and we have not artificially inseminated her, so she's out strolling the streets looking for some bull action. Betty, her origin story, came to us. The girl who used to work at our feed store, she knew we were kind of casually looking for bottle calves, calls us out of the blue one day in May and says, "Hey, you guys still looking for a calf?" I'm like, "Sure, why not?" She's like, "Okay, I'm going to give somebody your number. Stay by your phone." About 20 minutes later, this older gentleman calls us and says, "Hey, are you interested in a calf?" We're like, "Well, sure." He says, "Well, come out." Gave us his address. We drove out there, and he met us at the gate, and good thing we were in the truck because it was four-wheel drive. Oh, let me back up a minute. We had recently gotten a stock trailer for hauling livestock. This is our 13-footer we talked about earlier. And I mentioned to senior farm boss, "Hey, if we're getting this calf, should we get the trailer? You know, that's what we got it for." She's like, "Oh, no. We're just going to get it and put it in the truck. I'll hold it."
Big mistake.
That was a big mistake. We didn't know this going into it, but that was we'll get to that part of why it was such a mistake. So we get there, we show up in the truck, he asks us if it's four-wheel drive, which it is, and we go back down this driveway that, I wouldn't even call it a driveway. I've seen some third-world country roads that look better than this. And then we come upon this scene of utter carnage. There is blood everywhere on the side of the road. And then there's the tractor that has blood all over it. Like, it was some sort of horror scene. And we start thinking, what did we get into? Are we going to, make it home kind of thing? But the guy came out and greeted us. He was this about 80-year-old white-haired guy. You can see he's seen some better days, back hunched, kind of walked like he was a rodeo guy for a while. And he says, "Well, we got this little calf. It was in a barn. Says not had any colostrum or anything. Mom died during birth." And senior farm boss says, "Is that what's all the blood?" He goes, "Yeah, we couldn't let her go to waste, even though she died in labor. It's just, we couldn't waste the meat. So we processed her right there on the spot with the tractor." So we go in, we pick up this little calf. It's in the barn, it's all by itself. It's very sad. And the very kind old farmer gives us 3 bags of powdered colostrum. Says, "Here, this will help you get started because I don't think any of the stores are open right now. I think this was 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening. So we probably could have gotten there, but not gotten the calf home and done everything else we needed to." So we picked the calf up. I carry it. Senior farm boss sits in the back seat, hand it to her. Well, if you've ever had kids, you know that first bowel movement is like black tar that sticks to everything. It takes 435 wet wipes to clean the butt up. Yeah, Betty had one of those movements in the back seat. Now, she wasn't exactly sitting still either. And I could smell it. I could see some of what's going on. And I had a feeling this is what was going to happen. But, oh, no! We didn't need the stock trailer.
Thankfully, I was in the front seat and wasn't a part of that.
Yeah. So, we get home. And I keep hearing, I'll clean it up, I'll clean it up. We get Betty out, get her on the driveway. And we, at that point, she didn't have a name. But as we're driving home, it hits me. And we were listening to classic rock, and Black Betty comes on from George Thurgood. And that was her name, Black Betty the Heifer. She has since gotten more describing acronyms for her name. So when we get home, there is black, sticky, tar poop on the ceiling, on the seats, on the back of the seats, on the armrest, on the windows. Senior farm boss is covered in sticky tar poop in her hair, on her glasses, on her clothes. Wee's over here dying laughing because she was there. She's trying to hold it back. So, get Betty situated in a stall, and senior farm boss and we bottle fed her, you know, morning and night. Later that day, or I think it was the next day, senior farm boss was out there scrubbing with soap and water, and you couldn't tell. She did an expert job detailing the back seat. Lesson learned, lessons we learned the hard way, always take the stock trailer. Unless you're going to the auction, because then there's just that much more that you can buy if you're going to the animal auction.
Yeah, that's why I often mother puts us in the little car that way, so we don't buy too much stuff in the truck.
Yeah, so we're not allowed to go to the livestock auction anymore because some of my poor decisions on, yeah, we'll take some more animals. So here's another origin story. We no longer have any of the majority of these goats, I think, other than Zoe. Zoe is one of my least favorite goats on our
farm. Zoe is actually a descendant of one of those goats.
So, a while ago, probably 4 or 5 years ago, we were contacted by someone who says, hey, we have someone that needs to rehome an alpaca. We know you guys are doing sheep and, you know, fiber and those kinds of things. Would you be interested in taking it in? Well, sure. We'll entertain this idea. So we got in touch with the woman, and she was running a animal rescue. I'm going to put rescue in quotes. Don't know that it was necessarily an animal rescue other than we'll take anything in. So she had a bunch of health issues, and her business partner bailed on her. So now she has all these animals, and she can't really necessarily take care of them. Oh, you hear me say animals? Yeah, that one alpaca ended up being 8 alpacas. And while we were there, because we did bring the livestock trailer this time, we saw in one of their back pens the most gorgeous looking Oberhausley buck. This thing was as huge as an elk. I mean, his horns were a good 3.5 foot across. His name became Leonidas from the movie 300. He was a massive buck. And we had Oberhausley does on our farm already. We really liked the Oberhausley. So he would have been perfect for the breeding program. He was a wild one that was captured in Indianapolis, and they took like months to get him because he was scared of everything. So we managed to get him in the a separate trailer from the alpacas. And then she's like, well, do you want some more goats? Well, maybe. Yeah, that ended up being 10 additional goats.
Are you sure it was 10 and not 20?
We ended up up with 20 after this, but it was 10 initially. I'm like, well, they all have balls. You know, you can see them. It's like, we can't take that many bucks. Oh no, the vet came and crushed them. Lesson learned, if you're taking in any animals and they have visible nuts, they have not been fixed. Despite what anybody might tell you, they will still shoot live ones. Because these fixed bucks ended up getting all of our dairy does pregnant, and we had this massive amount of mutts that were some kind of whatever these goats were. Some looked like myotonics, some were hodgepodge. We had one that he had this long white beard named Gandalf.
Gandalf the Gray.
Gandalf the Gray. He was Gandalf the White. Anyway, they got every one of our goats pregnant, which we were on a breeding cycle where we weren't going to breed until later, so all of these goats have babies in the middle of winter, and it was a nightmare. So, from that point forward, I am not allowed to make any animal decisions on my own. I either have to have Junior Farm Boss approve it, or Senior Farm Boss. At any time there will be animals present anywhere I go, Junior Farm Boss must be accompanying me.
Yeah, so he doesn't pick up any animals that are unnecessary, especially large ones. For that, Mother must be present too. For smaller ones, I must only be present.
So, that was the lesson on who's allowed to get animals on the farm. Not me anymore, apparently. I'm also not allowed to go to the produce auction unattended or unsupervised.
So I tag along.
She comes with me as well. And I'm usually... The produce auction is... You buy very large volumes of produce. We're not talking a bag of carrots. We're talking a pallet of carrots at a time. But they're really good deals if you have the time and the space to process it, store it, or you could resell it.
And you can understand the person that's selling it.
Yeah, the auctioneer is, he talks very fast.
Yes.
So, anyway, those are two places I'm not allowed to go unsupervised. Apparently, I have poor impulse control. So, that's where Betty... Did we ever finish Betty's story? Another time we came home and then you guys bottle fed her. Well, Betty has imprinted on me as her favorite human.
Which happened after my appendix ruptured.
Oh, yeah. You had to go to the hospital and I had to feed and take care of Betty. So, she is imprinted on me. I'm her human. She follows me around like a dog. Some other animals that we have. We've mentioned Dirty Durr. She is one of our largest ewe sheeps. She is a baby face, something cross. Daiquiri is a good 250 pounds and maybe has 4 brain cells.
Probably a half a brain cell.
So Daiquiri came, a good friend of ours, Valerie, who's now down in Florida and has a wonderful photography business down there. She was moving and wanted to know if we would be interested in any rehoming her animals since we were doing sheep. We said, why not? This was a group decision on this one, so we went down and picked her up. We picked up several different wool sheep, and those sheep ended up being part of our breeding program and have given us some really nice quality, and we think they're quality, offspring out of them.
And so, then we also... Is she the person we got Coco from?
Coco came from her as well. So Coco is our little Shetland pony. And Coco came before the sheep did. So her daughter had Coco as a pasture pet, a little pony for her to ride around on. Well, she got too big, kind of like we is. Legs were dragging the ground when she ride Coco. And Coco was kind of a... lonely in his pasture, and nobody came out and saw him very often because, you know, she had other things going on, was in school and had a job. So Coco came to live with us. And for the longest time, Coco was the only equine we had, and he was lonely. But she went out there and loved on him and rode him, and he had a great life. He still has a great life. But then Val came, and Coco's world was completely different because there was another horse on the property, and those two have become bestest of friends.
It's nearly impossible to separate those two.
They have what's called, what is it called? Pasture?
Separation anxiety.
Pasture pals or Buddy Sour. That's what it is.
That's Buddy Sour is also another name for it.
So they have to be together, have to see each other, or they throw fits and pace and have all kinds of behavioral issues. And they talk to each other a lot. But those two are bestest of friends. Val was another one who has an origin story. He came as one of our now good friends, had a land dispute with one of her neighbors. And we believe, well, she believes that either he hired someone or did it himself, shot Val because this was one of her prized animals on the property that he wanted. Luckily, it missed no bones. It didn't hit any nerves. It looked to be a small caliber .22 that fragmented. So he was in a little she shed Amish type barn for several months, and he was very cooped up in there, and she just was too scared to let him out that these people might come back and finish the job. So she looked for somewhere for him to go where somebody would love on him the way she loves on him. One of our friends, I believe it was Angela, your BFF's mom, let us know that there was a horse and somebody was looking for a home. So we immediately contacted her, and Senior Farm Boss spent hours on the phone with her talking about her and where what was going on, and we went out and see him. And Val immediately locked onto we when we got to their place and just was fixated with her. And Joy, who was his mommy, said he likes kids, but he's not been that fixated on someone before. And he went right up to her, loved on her, hugged on her, and those two have been inseparable since. So Val came as a rehome as well. Again, I had nothing to do with this one. So I think so Betty has her name and she came free. We have another cow, Kiara, which had a brother, T-Bone Malone.
Also, I came up with the Kiara name because it meant dark little one.
And Kiara is all black except for she has some white spots on her teats. So a friend of ours knew that we were kind of casually looking for a friend for Betty and some cows. And one day she calls and says, "Hey, are you still looking for cows?" "Well, yeah." She's like, "All right, come down to your gate. We'll be there in a little bit." She pulls up with a stock trailer full of cows. Says, "Do you want one?" So we couldn't just get one. We ended up getting two, T-Bone and Kiara. And T-Bone was originally supposed to go for a meat cow. He was a Holstein steer, which means he's been castrated. And Kiara was a Holstein Angus cross, which we were thinking about breeding her, and she could be a milk cow, and her offspring would be meat. Well, T-Bone was so sweet and so lovable that Senior Farm Boss says he just can't go. He's going to be a pet. So now we have three cow pets running around, which three cows eat a lot, which is hay and pasture and barn space. Unfortunately, T-Bone was going after some of the spent grain and got his head caught underneath one of our trailers and knocked it off the cinder blocks. When the trailer fell, it broke his neck. So we ended up having to do a mulch burial for him because we had no way to put something that large into a ground. That's something else to think about if you have livestock of sometimes they do die. How are you going to dispose of them or do with the body? Are you going to process it? Are you going to bury it?
And most likely, is it a favorite pet? You can't process it. You want to bury it.
Yeah, you have that emotional connections if it's a pet type animal, and it's hard to cut that animal up for eating. We didn't know how long T-Bone had been down because he hadn't come up to the barn, and we found him several hours later. So, could he have been good to eat? maybe. Not 100% sure for how long he had been dead. Let's see. So we have Daiquiri. We're circle back around to her. So Daiquiri has had several kids. This year, she had a very large ewe, and she's got a big chunky rump, and her name is Bailey. It's for Bailey's Irish Cream. Daiquiri's first year, she had Margarita. Mm-hmm. Her second year, she had...
Twins,
which was Whiskey and...
Malibu,
for Malibu Run. Do you see a theory here, a commonality here? So, last year, she had triplets. And for some reason, Senior Farm Boss decided to break tradition with Daiquiri's kids being named alcohol. And we had the three amigos. She had three boys. Larry, what were their names?
Well, you both came up for different names. Mother went after the three amigos.
Which was Ned,
Lucky.
I don't remember the other one.
Me neither.
I called, and they had different markings so you could tell them apart. And I started calling the white one Ghost because he was all white. Mm-hmm. Then there was number two is what I called him.
Which Dusty stuck for him because he always looked like Dust had it on his back.
But I still call him number two. And then there was
Pork Chop,
because he had these big, bushy Pork Chop sideburns. And unfortunately, I think we lost him to the worms earlier in the spring this year. So we are going to make a pit stop and be back with you here in just a moment. Okay, we are back. We had to make a pit stop at a local
hardware store.
Yes. We is on a mission to get as many succulents as she can. And through watching TikTok, she learned about picking up the loose pieces that you can find at most stores that are on the ground or on the shelves by these succulents. And you can use those to start new ones for free because they are a waste. They pick them up and throw them away. They don't make their own new succulents. So we do not take any off of live plants or clip anything. It's just loose things that are on the ground or on the trays. So whenever we drive by a Home Depot, Menards, Lowe's, or any of those places, we make a stop and she collects the waste to turn it into a resource, which is a permaculture principle. So, as we got out, I was checking the recording from episode number 2, and apparently I didn't save it, so we have an hour worth of podcast that was gone. So, anything we talked about on the tips and tricks for your homestead, we will have to record. We will probably record that tomorrow as we go to Indy.
Which works out pretty good because you already know the origin stories.
Yes, so some of the origin stories of the animals and their names. So we got done talking about Daiquiri and all her alcoholic kids. Let's see. Another one that came from our friend Valerie is Jessie. And Jessie came with, I think there were 6 sheep when she brought them over and she was moving. And Jessie has the most distinct baa of all the sheep.
Yes.
It's like one of those roosters that just crows until it falls over or pass out. Jessie will almost pass out. She has such a long, long, long baa. You can tell Jessie's offspring because they almost all of them look like her. None of them have any names. Most of them are either random breeders or any of the weathers go for processing, but they all look just like her.
Except for this year. This year she had a black baby with a gray muzzle.
That's That's true. Every other year, so for 5 years, she's given us just clones of herself. So we refer to all of them as Jesse's kids.
Or Jesse clones.
Let's see, what are some other stories? Lily and Piper are two of our milk goats. They are Oberhausley and La Mancha crosses. Lily has ears. Piper has little elf ears, or little tiny ears. So a La Mancha is those one goats that look like they have no ears. Nubians are the ones that have the big, long, floppy ears. Something we learned recently, well, I don't say recently, it was several years ago, is that the La Manchas came from cold climates, and those smaller ears kept them from getting frostbite. Whereas Nelly, or the Nubians, have very long, floppy ears, and they're coming from warmer climates, and those ears help them regulate their body temperature, so like big radiators. I'm personal. I like the Nubians. I like their big floppy ears. And then we do have a Nubian buck now, thanks to our friend who, unbeknownst to me, made some sort of side deal with Senior Farm Boss after our buck died, which I was hoping that we would just get out of goats and stop breeding them.
He was too beautiful to be castrated.
That's what you guys said. So they had this deal worked out. They kept whispering and hushing whenever I would come around, so I knew something was up. And then this goat just shows up.
Now, well, you brought him.
He didn't have a name when he showed up, but he was replacing our breeding buck, and his name is Gaylord Falker. It's a reference to Meet the Falkers. And his nickname is Greg. So Gaylord Falker is our buck, and his one job is to make babies. Mm-hmm. We won't use the the other name that he does. He is a buck, and his job is to make babies. Anyway, let's see some other origin stories. We got Val, we got Coco, we got Daiquiri, Lily and Piper, which I went off on a tangent on them. We actually bought them. They were some of our first goats. We wanted milkers. Then we ended up having to buy a buck because we didn't have one. In order to have milking goats, you have to have a buck, and they have to have babies in order to milk. Mm-hmm. Lily has become very partial to Senior Farm Boss, and we'll talk to her. So 1 year, Lily lost her baby. We don't know, stillborn, but she was very sad and depressed. And Senior Farm Boss would go out there and milk her and talk to her. Well, Lily bonded with her in some way that she would talk to her and follow her around and treat her like another baby.
Well, she also helped to pull the baby out, so she probably smelled it on Mother.
That might be too, which is, you know, that's a whole nother thing of sometimes animals get stuck in the birth canal and you have to assist them. We didn't go into this in our tips and tricks, but we might do it since we have to record it anyway. That might be something we should put on there. Maybe we need to make notes instead of just winging it. Let's see. Who else do we have that has names? We have...
Zena and Gabrielle.
Yes, Zena and Gabrielle, who were babies of...
Zoe.
They were Zoe's babies?
Uh-huh. Zoe rejected them, and so I took them inside, and they became my children.
So sometimes animals will reject their babies for one reason or other. Maybe they are first-time moms. Maybe there's something that smells different on them. Maybe they know their sense that there's something wrong with them. Don't necessarily know why the reasons are, and it may be one reason one time and another reason a different time. So... Zena and Gabrielle got their name because at the time we was watching Zena Warrior Princess, and Zena is a black and white little goat, and Gabrielle is a brown, like a tan and white, so she kind of looks like Gabrielle's hair. So Zena and Gabrielle are based off of the Zena the TV show. Mm-hmm. One of our breeders that came from Valerie was Aurora. Now, I think she had her name because of the Disney Princess Aurora. She was a Lincoln Longwool. Well, Aurora gave birth to Borealis. You get it? Aurora Borealis?
Mm-hmm.
And he is one of our breeding rams. He is one of the stockier ones, but he has some amazing fiber. He is polled, which means he doesn't have horns, naturally. We do not burn horns, either chemically or with heat, or ban the horns, because the animals use them as defense, and they also use them as heat exchangers for winter and, well, not winter, but more summer, that they can use those as big radiators to help cool their bodies down.
But we will cut horns back if they start to come up towards their face to prevent them from going into their skull and that. That is called terminal horns.
Very good. Terminal horns is where, typically with sheep, sometimes you can get it in goats, but their horns curve, and as they curve, they keep getting closer and closer to their face or skull. Normally in the wild, they would die because eventually they get in there and they either get an infection or it just keeps going until it hits a brain. And their horns constantly grow. So we had two rams, Olaf and Chocolate. One was white, one was brown. And they had terminal horns, and periodically, probably usually whenever we sheared them. Whenever they were shorn, we would trim their horns back, and there's different techniques you can use. We used an angle grinder with a masonry blade, but some people use, there's a wire that's braided.
I watched a shearer. She has a wire, and they just saw it back and forth until the horn is cut off.
And you don't want to do it up next to the skull. You only want to go to the very tip, which you usually can feel, depending on the temperature, where their horns are warmer and cooler, because a sheep's body temperature is warmer than ours. And you want to go just below the temperature shift, which is where the blood's going through. So if you do it right, there won't be any blood, and you just cut the end of the dead horn off. If you do hit blood, you can use quick clot or aluminum spray or some other mechanisms to stop the bleeding, because it does bleed a lot in their horns. So Aurora and Borealis, and let's see, Whiskey, who is one of Malibu's kids, is also one of our rams.
And then do the thing with your tongue for
Ramon. Ramon is another breeding ram. He is a Rambouillet Finn cross. Finn is a breed of sheep. Rambouillet is the American version of Merino. So he has very, very fine wool, but it's very tightly packed together. He has lovely fiber. It doesn't ever mat. And he has amazing looking horns. His mother was...
Her sister was Ramona.
So Ramona was his mother, and Val, because Val, we named her because she came on Valentine's Day. Ramona was his mother. Valentina was his aunt. Ramona had another child named Beezus. So Ramona and Beezus from the Judy B. Blume books. We have weird names. What can I say? And some of them are unusual. We have Monchichi, who, when she was born, she had what looked like a little monkey face by her markings, like a capuchin monkey.
Mm-hmm.
And so then her daughter this year was Chi-Chi, which we named.
I named.
Zoe... Her original name was Number Two, because we had three little goats all at the same time off of this massive monstrosity of the goats that came, which you don't know the story from that, about the why I'm not allowed to have goats.
Yes, we did.
Oh, we went over it earlier?
Yes.
I'm blending our two shows. She eventually got changed to Zoe, and I don't know why we came up with Zoe. I don't know who came up with the name of Zoe.
It may have been me or Miller.
It was one of you two, because it wasn't me. So, we can go through all the goats, because they have names. So, one of the trips when my wife went to Switzerland was in the middle of kidding season for the goats. So, Gooey was born in a snowstorm in the winter, and he was covered in umbilical fluid, and his mom rejected him. So we were bottle feeding him for a couple of days until Senior Farm Boss came back. So we went and picked her up at the airport. She came home and was able, within a couple of hours, get Gooey to latch onto his mom, so we no longer had to bottle feed him. We don't have that kind of skill. She can get most animals to latch onto mom. I don't know if it's I don't have the patience or don't know what I'm doing. It's not that motherly instinct, but
both.
She can almost always get a goat or sheep to latch on to mom. So that's Gooey. And then we have Lily and Piper.
And then
Zena and Gabrielle.
And then the babysitter, Nellie. She would babysit, though.
Nellie would be a babysitter. Nellie had a hard life. We lost Nellie recently. She had either goat polio or listeria or M-worm at one time. Then she was able to recover from that. And then she had, it's a calcium deficiency.
Pregnancy toxemia,
where her body cannot produce enough calcium, and so her producing the milk and feeding the babies took all the calcium out of her. She managed to come out of that. Then she rejected her two babies,
Shelly and Kelly,
which we lost those two as well, which we also raised those as babies. They lived in her room with her for a while. Zena and Gabrielle lived in your room for a while.
They were able to meet Shelly and Kelly like once or twice.
So it seems like, you know, you get attached to animals and
they just drop dead on you.
It's hard, but that's part of farm life, and it's you have to go in knowing that you can't save everybody, but you can give it the best effort you can, and that's as much as you can do.
And we gave Nellie and them the best life we could.
Yes. And who else is there? So Lily had a baby this year, Lillian. And then Piper last year had twins, and we weren't going to name them because we were going to get rid of them.
Well, I don't think she had babies last year. It was the year before. Yeah, it was the year before, because Zena and Gabrielle were born somewhere in the same year, I think.
If you say so. I think it was last year. But anyway, digress. Piper.
No, it was before Zena and Gabrielle were born, because that one of the goats was the cause of them getting birth. First.
You're thinking way too long ago. Let me finish my story.
No, I'm not.
You're jumbling things up. So, Piper had a baby last year. She had twins. One of the twins got its leg caught in a fence. This is why we were building goat contrast to keep all of the goats in.
I got confused with different goats.
That's what I was saying. And, you know, we managed to get that goat somewhat on the mend, but she just would not stay in the barn or stay in the pasture, and she kept jumping the fences with all the other goats. And we don't know if she got an infection or she just couldn't heal from it, because she had ripped her leg open pretty bad, down to the bone. We did everything we could to patch her up, heal her, antibiotics. She just didn't make it. So the other twin, which didn't have a name since they were going to be sold, ended up sticking around, despite me wanting to downsize our goats. And because she kept jumping the fence, I just nicknamed her Damn Goat.
And it stuck.
That's her name now, is Damn Goat. So, then we have Mac.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how Mac got his name, because he would ram everything like a Mack truck. Mac is another breeding ram, so we have four breeding rams.
Five.
Jupiter is not a breeding ram. Jupiter is like a sad excuse for a sheep. We'll get into Jupiter in a minute. So, Mac, I was giving a farm tour one day. It was pretty miserable, wet, drizzly outside. And we started to come down a laneway, and there's this little lamb sitting in the middle all by itself. No mommy, no nothing. So we grabs him up, and she had recently learned and become expert at hypothermia recovery. She took Mac in and started the hypothermia protocol, which this might help if you don't know, is they need to have the mouth temperature at about
100-ish.
So if you can stick your finger in their mouth and it's cold, do not feed them. Do not give them colostrum. Do not give milk. That was what our initial thought process was they need to get food in there to help stimulate their body. That is not the case. They have already gone through so much with birth. Their temperatures are so low. The little bit of energy that they do have goes into trying to process that milk or colostrum, and it ends up starving their body even more of their energy. What'll happen is they start going into uncontrollable seizures, and they just keep having them until they eventually just die. We had triplets that we tried feeding them, we tried bringing them up, we tried warming them up, everything we could. And that's when we came up with the hypothermia protocol after researching everything we could, because we never wanted that to happen again. Losing three little babies right off the bat, it was hard. And to have them sit there and die in your hands and your arms. So the hypothermia protocol is get them in and get them warm. No food or anything, no liquids until they can get warm. Once their mouth, and dry them off if they're wet. If they still have amniotic fluid or is it rain or snow.
And what we do is I take them in, get a towel, get a hair dryer, just plug it in and try and get them warm. And rub them because that will stimulate them to move because the mom would lick them and that would make them want to move.
So you use a hair dryer on a warm setting, not a hot setting. You don't want to cook them. Dry them off and slowly bring their temperatures up. Now, we have seen other people put them in plastic bags with their heads out into warm water baths. Sheepishly me does that?
Uh-huh.
We found the hair dryer protocol works. We will sit on the bathroom floor for sometimes hours to get them back up. Now, once their temperature comes up, we give them a dilute molasses water, warm water, not hot, but not cold, and that extra sugar processes a lot faster than their colostrum. That gives them that little bit of extra energy that once they can keep some of that down and you watched them for a while, they can then start having the colostrum and the milk. You want to give colostrum for 24 to 48 hours if you have it or if you can, and then move over to milk.
If you're able to find the mom, you'll want to get her into an enclosure and just get maybe a little Tupperware.
If you can get the colostrum from mom, great. If you have to get a replacer, hey, it's not as great, but it's better than nothing. They need that colostrum with antibiotics and natural immunity that the mom has, and that's superfood for the baby. So once they're up, you've given them, and they're warm, you give them a little bit of molasses water, and then you can move on to warmer colostrum and milk. But the hypothermia is definitely a unique thing, and it went against what we thought we knew. So now that we know the protocol, we have not had that happen since. We've not lost any babies to hypothermia. You've saved at least a dozen, if not more, animals following the hypothermia, and she's been very good. We don't even have to do anything more. She'll pick that baby up and gone. Usually lets us know that she went inside, but for the most part, She knows what to do on her own, does it all by herself. So that was Mac's first brush with death, which you saved his life then.
Mm-hmm.
And then this spring, we had a worm outbreak is the only thing we can determine. It was a very wet spring, and they were all out eating pasture, and we were shearing the ewes who were pregnant and giving her their CD and T shots, which is an annual thing we give them.
And warmer.
Not everybody gets warmer, but the moms do. And our reasoning on this is giving birth is a strain on their system. So if they have a parasite load that they're tolerating and it's not hurting them any, having that baby on top of that can just deplete their systems completely. So we'll worm them just so that they're not having a double whammy punch. We don't typically worm on a regular basis. One, it starts giving you resistance to the medications, which if you start getting enough resistance across the worm, the different medications, you have no treatment and you'll just lose all of your animals. Your farm won't be suited for that animal for a while until those parasites are out of your system. So we worm the moms at that point. Now, we noticed that a couple of the wethers died, and we had no reason. They were fine one day, they were just dead the next. Then all of our rams started getting sick. They were down, lethargic, and we looked at their eyelids, which is a way to tell parasite load without doing a fecal or taking it to a vet. You can flip over their eyelids, and pink eyelids is a low or no worm. White eyelids is a very high parasite load. So we looked at their eyelids, and they had a parasite load, which we weren't expecting because most of our animals are fairly hardy and are almost parasite resistant. We've got a couple that's based on the breeds that are more susceptible than others, and we're trying to breed that out of our flock. But Mac almost died again, and we was there to rescue. We wormed all of the rams and everybody else. She went and took pictures of them and was there every day to go in and make sure they had food, make sure they had water, because we isolated more of the sick ones so that they weren't going to be out in the back 40 pasture where we don't see them every day and then just lay down and not get back up. So at least if they were close where we could keep an eye on them, we were knowing that they were eating, they were drinking, we could monitor their bowel movements, and she saved him again. Now, he used to like to play and headbutt with her, and he'd knock her on her butt a couple of times. She'd beat him with a pole. But after his second brush with death, he's had a change of heart. He
kind of
comes up and he wants to get pet and scratched. So there's Mac. And then there was Jupiter that she mentioned earlier. So Jupiter, for some reasons, we had Neptune, Jupiter, and Pluto all around the same time. I don't know if we had a Saturn, but his mother rejected him, so he came and lived in the house, and he lived in the house for a while until he started couch jumping. So he would come around, he wore a diaper in the house, so we have video of him. I think it's either on our Facebook or it might be on our YouTube channel. He would come up, jump on the seat, then jump on the arm of the couch, and then do this flying leap off where his legs went to the side and jump off the top, and then he'd go around and do it again and again and again and again. Well, then he started getting a little crazy with some of his jumps, and he was chasing the dogs and chasing the cats, so he got booted to be outside. You know, he was still too little to go out and gin pop. Wanted to keep an eye on him, keep him safe, so he kind of hung out with the dogs in the yard. So for about 6 months to a year, he thought he was a dog. He'd chase the UPS guy, get in the truck, ask for dog biscuits when he would come. Then we had to get a gate because he would chase the UPS guy down the road. So he would sit at the gate and baa at the UPS guy when we would get packages because he wanted his dog biscuits. Well, then it became winter, and he needed somewhere to go, not in the yard with the dogs, so he went and lived with the goats. He did not like being with the sheep, and the sheep were picking on him. all the Rams. So,
oh, that makes me think of another time Mac got beaten up by one of the Rams. For some reason, Whiskey was just headbutting.
Oh, yeah, and you saved him then, too. So that's three times.
Uh-huh, so he owes me free life debts.
So, yeah, one of our Rams, for some reason, went after Mac. It was just beating on him, and we don't know why, but it was a one-time deal, and after that, they were fine. Back to Jupiter. So then Jupiter went and lived with the goats in the barn, because the goats were living separate at the time from the sheep. And he thought he was a goat. So he went hung out with the goats, and when the goats would go out into the woods, he'd go out with the goats. He didn't want to be a sheep. And then for one reason or another, he decided he was a sheep now. So he started living with the sheep again. And he still likes to hang out with the goats over the sheep, but he'll be a sheep more than he wants to be a goat. Let's see, then Jupiter lost a horn, so he has one horn. He has terminal horns, so one horn he broke off somehow at his skull. Then he has one horn that's kind of cut in half because it was going into his face. We thought we banded him when he was small, which, you know, castrates him to a wether. And one year for shearing, we were shearing him, and there was something under there. We thought it was extra wool. No, it's a set of nuts. So what he had done was sucked his nuts up, and we just banded his sack. So he has a very short sack with tight nuts next to his body. So even if he could breed, more than likely he's sterile. Still wouldn't trust him. But he's very sweet. He's very nice. He doesn't bother anybody for the most
part. Anymore.
For a while he headbutted. And he now just appears in various places. So he might be out in the pasture with the sheep one day, and the next day he's coming up the driveway from walking the road. He might be over in pasture one, and then later that day you see him in pasture four, and there's no way to get there other than jumping the fence. We've not seen him jump fence. He just appears. We're thinking maybe he teleports.
Yeah, tell him the story about Mocha.
So, well, there's another origin story, Mocha. Mocha came from one of our adopted families, Fran, Auntie Fran. She gave Mocha to a friend of hers for breeding. Well, then this woman needed to downsize because she didn't have the pasture, and he came to live here for a while her pastures got better and she dealt with some worm loads. Well, Mocha never left. Mocha was a full-blooded Finn. He was an old man. He was 14, which is old for sheep.
Not 14, not 11, I think.
Well, when he came, he was 11. When he died, he was 14. So, Mocha was an old man. He didn't get around very well. He had arthritis. You could hear his knees click when he would walk around. But he had a good life at our farm. And so, in his last, you know, couple of years, he'd get two or three ladies just to keep him entertained and, you know, let him live out his days with some lady friends. And he threw some great babies and some of our favorite animals still. The Finn is an awesome sheep because it has a great personality. It's like a dog, a woolly dog. They just love to be pet and loved on. They have nice fiber, but they have a very, very susceptible to parasites.
That's why it's good if you breed a Finn to a Shetland, because Shetlands are the hardiest things you will ever see.
They're little tanks, but they're little. They max out about 150, maybe 200. But for the most part, they're 75 to 100 pounds. Anyway, so Mocha was old. He was having trouble getting around. And so he was put on a pasture on the front hill by himself or with, you know, a couple of ladies just to keep him company because they herd animals. They don't like to be by themselves. And you'd look and he'd be laying down in one area, you know, sunning or maybe being in the barn. And the next time you look up, he's all the way on the other side of the pasture. You never saw him move. You never saw him get up. He didn't walk. He didn't run. He just materialized seated somewhere else.
How does he do it? And he had a limp in his leg.
Yeah, he had the arthritis in his legs. He was limping.
How does he move that fast?
So we seem to think that Mocha had some sort of teleportation ability.
And he passed that on to different animals, too.
Some of them do have some ability to just appear randomly.
Yeah. It's kind of scary.
I totally forgot about Ahsoka and his transporting. And then we have, you know, talked about Jupiter, who's just a big hot mess of issues.
Uh-huh.
Thought he was a ram, now he's not a ram. We banded him, but then he really is a ram. Thought he was a goat, thought he was a sheep, thought he was a dog. He just has all kinds of issues. But we still love him.
Yeah.
And he smells. He is one of the smelliest goats. I don't know what it is about him, but you
Do
rub
you mean
on him.
Sheep?
Yeah, sorry, sheep.
He's a wog.
He's a wog, a woolly dog. We have several woolly dogs. We are back at home, so Wee is going to get out and close the gate for us. I'll keep talking to you guys while we're pulling up the driveway.
Let me take the microphone off.
Okay. So, I apologize that we lost our other podcast. We'll go into that again another day, maybe tomorrow. Tips and tricks and techniques that we've learned over the years and lessons we've learned the hard way. Some other animals we have. We had Jack, who was one of the best damn dogs there ever was. He came from Auntie Fran as well. He was a Bernese Mountain Dog and Great Pyrenees. And he was just a good old boy dog, and we loved him. Let's see. Freya and Segan we bought from the Shadowy Place, which every time we go to the Fort Wayne, Anderson area, we have major, major equipment failure. So, engine blew up. We had exhaust blow up. Axle break. Transmission went out. What else did we have?
Flat tires.
Yeah, every time we've gone to this area, we've had some sort of major mechanical breakdown. So, that is now the dark, shadowy place. We don't go there. Even if it's free animals, it's a great deal on something, whatever, we avoid that area like the Bermuda Triangle or the plague. Who has some other origin animals that you would want to talk about?
Me?
Well, yeah, who else am I talking to? They can't answer.
Did we talk about Chuck in the first video?
Chuck the chicken and his ducks? I think we did.
We may have. I don't remember.
So we talked about all the goats. We talked about Chuck. He's one of our unique chickens. I shouldn't say he. She is a unique chicken. We have some other sheep that are you know, good personalities. We have Bubby, who is a thin cross, but he looks like a clone of Mocha.
Yes, exact color.
Yeah, he looks like a baby Mocha. If we wouldn't have banded him, he would have been a good breeder, but we already had so many rams. We have 4 active breeders in our breeding program right now. 4 or 5?
We would have to count.
We have Mac. Ramon, Whiskey, and Borealis. We got rid of the other two.
Do you count Jupiter, or do you call him a half ram?
He's got issues. He's not even a ram. let's see. We talked about Betty and Kiara and T-Bone Malone. We'll have to talk about Athena.
Mm-hmm.
So if you notice the theme with our guardian dogs, we have Athena, we have Freya, and we have Segan.
And Thorsten.
Well, Thorsten's not a guardian dog.
His name fits the theme.
Well, his original name was supposed to be Thor. So we have this whole Viking, Norse mythology, because Segan, Freya, and Athena are all Norse goddesses. Thor was supposed to be his name, but once he got here, he's so goofy and just, he's a big lap dog who thinks he's a chihuahua, but he's 150 pounds. He's a pity mix. So we've changed his name to Thorsten Howl the Third. We call him Thorsten, or Thorsteson.
Or Meathead.
Meathead.
Or Doofus.
Or Doofus. Rufus and a Doofus.
Rufus and a
Doofus. He's got so many names.
Or stupid.
Yeah. He kind of has some mental challenges sometimes.
I think he shares brain cells with Daiquiri.
Daiquiri's a unique sheep on all on her own. who else do we have? Well, we have Burtus Maximus.
Uh-huh, and then Burtus.
Burtus Minimus.
And then Burtus Titimus. The tiny one.
Oh, well, Minimus is... We're going to change his name to Minimus.
Okay.
So, Burtus Maximus originally was Burt Reynolds. He's our guinea hog boar. And then he came with Dolly and Sally.
Hey?
For Dolly Parton and Sally Fields from
a movie. Who are those pigs?
They're no longer with us. Some of their offspring are what we have now. So, Burtus Maximus came as Burt Reynolds. He stuck around. The other two we have lost from... one was a...
Cannibalization.
That was an anal prolapse, and then they ended up eating her. And then we lost another one. I'm not quite sure what happened to that one.
Cannibalism?
No. We have three guinea girls right now. We have Van Gogh, who is a sow who is missing half of her ear that she got into a tangle with the meat pigs and they bit her ear off. So, get it? Vincent Van Gogh was missing an ear, so Van Gogh is her name. Then we have little girl who was born here, and she used to be the smallest of the guinea hogs. Well, now she's not. She's rather chonky. And then we have Fatty Fat. And Fatty Fat is the biggest of all three of the girls that is so large, she usually has to lay down or sit down to eat. Now, these pigs aren't supposed to be that big. They're supposed to be on a diet losing weight, but we kept feeding them the same way we were feeding the meat pigs, and they just ballooned up. So now they're on a reduced diet and get pasture as much as they want on one of the pastures, but they're still not losing too much weight. We should have bacon bits from them before long.
That's his nickname for piglets.
Bacon bits. We have Petunia, who came originally was going to be a meat pig, but she ended up sticking around. She's had a litter. She may have another one. We're not 100% sure if she's pregnant or not.
And then we have Miss Piggy.
Mother named her Miss Piggy from, you know, the Muppets. I think we went into Miss Piggy's story of how she came. In the original one. Don't start with that Muppet song. So we're at home. We're going to probably get out of here for today. I will try to remember to save this one. And we'll publish them here soon. So we'll probably do one or two podcasts going to Indy tomorrow. If you guys hear this and it's before Friday, let us know any kind of questions, comments, things you want to learn, things you want to know. And we'll do our best to answer them. Instead of winging it and just kind of random free thought, we'd like to maybe do a little more of a structure. So if we can do that, we will. If not, we'll just kind of wing it some more. So far, all of them have been fairly PG. We haven't talked any about the topics that get we all riled up, such as taxes and government and...
And the one going to Wingate, which he forgot to save, nearly dipped into the subject.
We touched on it. She didn't get all riled up. I had to kind of calm her down because we were winding down on it. But there's quite a few things that she has a very vocal opinion on, and she has very good logic on and reasoning on it. So, until next time, we'll talk to you soon. Again, let us know if there's something you want to know or learn about or go into more details. Talk to you soon.